How do you balance enough versus more? This is a question that was posed in a mastermind I'm a part of recently, and I want to share some interesting perspectives with you in this video. Hey, welcome to the Healthpreneur Show. I'm Uriel Kame, CEO and founder of Healthpreneur. You are listening to this because you are a health professional or coach who is committed and driven to growing a successful virtual practice or coaching business online. In these episodes, I'm going to give you the best of the best when it comes to marketing, sales, mindset, business growth in general to help you achieve those goals. So without any further ado, let's dive right in. This might be a question you have been either consciously or unconsciously thinking about or, you know, figuring out over the years is, when is enough enough? And is it ever enough or is more okay? And I want to share my perspective on this and just, you know, give you the perspective of some other entrepreneurs who are all, again, 7- and 8-figure entrepreneurs, just for a bit of perspective. So for me, here's my answer. I think of more as growth. For me, it's never enough. If my highest value is growth and contribution, then enough doesn't exist in my vocabulary. So that's my personal opinion on this conversation. It's the same thing, and I'm very aware of this with my kids, right? So they have, let's say, a lot of Lego. And what a lot of, at least with me growing up, my parents would have been like, oh, like, don't you have enough already? Like, don't you have enough Lego already? And if I catch myself thinking or catch myself in that thought pattern, I'm like, hold on. So what if you have enough Lego? Because I don't really care. That's not really like, you can have enough Lego, but is it not okay to want more Lego? And the fact that you want more Lego, does that mean you're a bad person because you're a consumer? I don't think so, right? So one of the things, like with my kids at least, I don't really ever say, don't you have enough already? At least if I do say that, I try to catch myself and correct myself, because I don't want them growing up with the mentality that there's a ceiling on what's possible for them. I'm not here to say what's right or wrong. Okay? I'm just kind of sharing my perspective. For me, it's never enough. I'll always want to make more money. I will always want to help more people. I will always want to have more, right? Like, we're building our house in Mexico. Once that's done, what next? Maybe we'll build one in Italy. I don't know. But it's never going to stop. And the reason for that is because for me, if growth and contribution are my highest values, then how can I grow if I say enough is enough? Like, it is for me, there's a fundamental, I don't understand how to walk through life with that type of mentality, at least in my mind. Because how can you run a business that, let's say you get to $1 million a month, how can you just stay at $1 million a month? It's not like an airplane that just goes cruising altitude. At some point, even if you're in an airplane at cruising altitude, you're going to come down, right? Due to low fuel and gravity, okay? You could also say, well, if there are no external forces and no gravitational pull, you can end up in space and just orbit the Earth forever, right? Status quo, just keep doing that forever. Does that sound like a lot of fun? Not for me, right? And if you think of just space travel in general, now I know I'm getting like a little bit off topic. If you think about being in space in general, there is no stress on the human body. There's no stress on the human body. So when an astronaut comes back to Earth, and if they were to stand on their 2 feet, their legs would shatter because they have lost bone mass. They've lost muscle mass because there is no stress on their body. That's why they have friggin' gyms in the space station, because they have to strengthen their body in a zero gravity or no stress environment. So when I think of enough versus more, I understand the trade-offs. I understand that when I continue to pursue more, it creates stress. And I think all winners in life are happy to take that on. I was watching Liverpool against Manchester City, the two top teams outside of Arsenal in the English Premier League for the week, and they tied 1-1, great game. And they're interviewing Virgil van Dijk, who's the Liverpool defender, one of the top players in the world. And he said, because they're asking him questions, and he, like, about, like, you know, how do you find the responsibility of working alongside some younger players on the field that, you know, aren't starters? And he said, like, for me, it doesn't matter. Like, I love the challenge. I love the responsibility. I love the pressure, right? Like, you can see in his face, like, he's the type, he's built, his DNA is built for that type of pressure. And I understand that not everyone is like that, right? Not everyone is in any way, shape, or form remotely ambitious. But you're here, you're watching this because to some degree you are. To some degree you want growth, you want more than you have now, and that's okay. I also want to give you permission to not listen and take the opinions of other people who are not further ahead of you in life or who don't have what you have to even weigh in on your own conversation. So I love my mom, right? But, you know, she drives a Toyota Corolla and she lives on a pension. Why would I take her advice for anything, if I'm being honest? Like when I got our second McLaren, she's like, why do you need two McLarens? After she questioned me on getting the first one, which, you know, at the time was $220,000. She's like, oh, that's a lot of money for a car. I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, I paid cash, so it's all good. It's no big deal. And then I got the second one. And then she's like, well, like, do you really need two? And I understand where she's coming from. And but the thing is, like, that's where she's coming from, is just kind of like this myopic view of the world. And again, I love my mom dearly, but why would I lean into my mom for advice to listen to those opinions from someone who doesn't exhibit and exude the life I aspire to achieve and create for myself? And for me, to be honest, like if you're talking to someone else who's way further ahead, let's just call it financially, they might look at me as someone like I look at my mom, right? Small thinking, you only have two McLarens? Fuck, man, I've got 10 Bugattis and a tank and a supercar and a superjet and all this, and whatever it is, okay? What I'm saying is it's not about the stuff, okay? It's not about the cars. It's not about the money. It's not about any of that shit. Those things are byproducts of you becoming a bigger version of yourself, if those are things that even interest you in the first place. Some people have no interest in cars. Cool. We have a friend, actually. Our kids go to school together. The guy's got like a collection of Rolexes that are like $200,000 each, right? He's got like 8 supercars. You know, like it's inspiring to be around people like that, as opposed to, oh, you know, that business class flight was a lot of money. I don't know if I can like just surround yourself with different inputs, right? Because the inputs from a young age to today, no matter how old you are, directly impact how you see yourself show up in the world. And if you have a certain identity for yourself and the people around you do not match that, well, you've got two choices. You can become more like them to fit in, or you find a new group of people. Because what I notice in the entrepreneurial space is two things. It goes one of two ways. Is you have some people that are like, I want more. I want more growth. I want more money. I want more impact. And there's nothing wrong with that. And then some people outside are like, oh, that's so greedy. No. Your mindset is just in a different place. You don't understand that level of thinking. You don't understand the intention behind that. So I've got another buddy, and his answer to this question is, so again, the question was, how do you balance enough versus more? And his answer was more, period. That was it. He recently sold a percentage of his company. He got $12 million cash in his bank. And I was asking him, I'm like, so what changes now? And he's like, nothing. I just keep doing what I'm doing. So it's not like if it was about just the money, he could have just called it a day. But he got $12 million cash in his bank, and he showed up to work, continues to do what he's doing. So if it was just about the money, why would he keep going? Unless you say, well, maybe he wants 20 million instead of 12, which is fine. But here's the thing, there's a bigger thing beyond the money. I see the same thing with athletes. You know, you look at players like tennis, like Novak Djokovic, Federer, Nadal, all the greats, right? They have more money than they can spend. It's not about the money. They don't care if they get, you know, they don't care if they win prize money at the US Open or Wimbledon. It's about them becoming the best they can be and shattering the records, becoming the greatest. Yeah, there's a certain ego attached to that, right? Why not become the best if you can? Is that like to become the best version of yourself? For sure. But if you have the opportunity to be the best of all time, is that not a worthwhile pursuit, right? For people who truly value greatness, because if you become the best of all time, like there's, again, I don't know the intention behind that, but my thinking might be, well, if I become the best of all time, who do I have to become that person, okay? So if I aspire to build a $1 billion business, it's not about the money. Like, even if it was, what's wrong with that? You know, the love of money is evil. Like, no, it's not. Like, unless you're doing terrible things with it, that's a different story. But I think Jim Rohn once said this. He's like, you know, his advice that he got from his mentor, which was Ed Schilf, I think, said, you know, strive to become a millionaire, not because of the money, but because of the person you become in the process. And I think that's something that I've tried to pass on to my kids. Not exactly in those words, but also live my life by, because it's not about the money, right? It's about being able to take on bigger challenges, because what's the point of all this? What's the point of living life? Like I've seen what people look like when they've checked out, and there's nothing more depressing to see than someone who is completely disengaged. It's really, you've seen them, right? They walk around, head down, they're just moping, they sleep in, they watch television all day. They have no fucking purpose in life. No purpose, nothing drives them. I don't care what the fuck your purpose is or what drives you, but you gotta find something. Because retirement is the fastest way to the graves, right? Other than being able to travel and do some more gardening and whatever you wanna do. But we as humans, for the most part, and I would say men, or at least people with more masculine energy, are very mission driven. Hey, hope you're enjoying the show so far. Just popping in real quick to let you know that I am on Instagram. If we're not connected yet on the good old IG, hit me up. I'm at Healthpreneur, not any of the other fake accounts, but just at Healthpreneur. Be sure to follow me on Instagram and send me a DM, letting me know how you like the show or really anything else you need help with to grow your virtual health practice or coaching business online. So once again, that's at Healthpreneur on Instagram. In the meantime, let's get back to the show. The essence of the masculine is mission, right? And as much as I love my family, the reality is I am obsessed with my mission. That's never going to change. I can't be the kind of dad that stays home with my kids all day. I'd go fucking crazy. That is what it is. Does that make me a bad father? No. You know, and like what I see happen sometimes is like, I'm not here to, you know, share my beliefs on this, but I'll just share what I think. When we try to fit into this mold of who we're not, like, let's say you have someone who's a very masculine energy, who's a very mission-oriented person, and then they start going through experiences and hearing other people or seeing other influences that say, oh no, like, you should be more nurturing, you should be more at home with the kids and doing that type of stuff. And they start going down that rabbit hole. And then a year or two later, they're miserable. And it's not that they don't love their kids, it's that they're not on purpose anymore. The mission is no longer there. And there's nothing wrong with being someone who is mission oriented and still be okay. Not like, at least for me, I'm at home. I worked at home. My kids are at home when they're not in school. We spend a good amount of time together. And sometimes I see them for a little bit. They're downstairs watching TV and doing Lego, whatever it is. And I see them for dinner. And it is what we spend a good amount of time together. But I also know that I'm a way better part-time parent than if I had to be with them full-time. Does that mean I'm not a good parent? I don't think so. Like, what is a good parent? What is a good dad? Like, do you have to be with your kids all the time and sacrifice the mission if growth and contribution is the most important thing to you? For me, I've come to terms with that. I'm okay with that, right? Versus, you know, someone else, let's say, who has more feminine energy, whether it's a female or male. And for them, it's all about nurturing the relationships and the kids and all that kind of stuff. And then they feel, let's say, the pressure from their spouse to also contribute to the family. That creates a lot of pressure. That creates a lot of stress. So now you have this woman who's got a very feminine core. And obviously there's women with more masculine energy, that's fine. But you have a woman with a very feminine core who wants to be with the family, feeling this pressure from spouse, outside world, to now have to build a career. And maybe they want to, but if they don't want to, that's when shit starts to really, you know, really fuck us up. So all of this to say is, like, you have to know yourself. You have to know yourself. There's a great book. It's actually on my bookshelf by Harvard Business Review called Authentic Leadership. And what they found is they did kind of an analysis of all the, you know, a lot of CEOs around the world. And they found, like, the best leaders across the board had one thing in common. And that one thing in common was a high level of self-awareness. And I think if you have a high level of self-awareness and you act in congruence with who you are, then people start to see you as someone who is real and authentic, because you're just being yourself, okay? One of the most common things people tell me is, like, I don't know, like, Yuri just seems like a very authentic and real person. Because I am. Because what I'm sharing with you here is exactly how I would share, like, what I would tell you in person. I'm not trying to be anything fictitious here. I speak my truth. I understand I'm going to step on some toes. Some people might say this is amazing. Some people might say this guy's a bit of a dick. I don't fucking care. Right? Life is too short to care what other people think. And I spent too long worrying about that stuff. And whether or not you're in the enough is enough camp or the more is better camp, it doesn't matter. You got to live you. You have to live your truth. And are there consequences to either one? Yeah, I think so. I'll give you an example. So Gary Neville, who played for Manchester United back in the day when Manchester United was one of the best teams in the world, played with Beckham and all those guys. He has a show on Sky Sports, where he interviews players. It's a really, really, I can't even remember the name of the show now, but it's really good. And he was, they did a reverse episode where he was the one being interviewed by the producer of the show. And he was talking about, so Gary Neville said something I thought was really fascinating. He said, I can't slow down. I can't slow down. And I know that it's going to have an impact on my health. And even if that means I die younger, I'm okay with that. And I think that's a really interesting mindset, because some people might say, well, like, what's it all worth? Some people are just wired for more. Some people want more. They want to strive for bigger things. And there are consequences to that, right? Like, again, you go to space, there's no pressure. Well, I mean, pressure is probably not the right word. There's no stress on the body, right? But on the flip side, if you have too much stress, you can break down, right? Like, if you really, like, if you think about, like, putting your head in a vice, cranking it. That is a form of stress. Eventually, you will crush your skull. But if you don't put your head in a vise, there's no pressure, right? If you go to space, there's no stress. And so it's not about like one or the other is the best. It's like, how do you find where on the spectrum do you operate the best? I personally operate very, very well under a high degree of pressure. And some people don't operate well like that. And some other people will say, well, maybe, you know, there's like, you have an achievement personality and you're trying to prove something to someone. Maybe, I don't fucking care, right? I think it's served me pretty well up until this point. Am I trying to prove myself to anyone? Probably. Maybe not one individual, but maybe just a collective. I don't even know. But does that mean that the growth is not worth it? For me, it's not. For me, the growth is worth it. I'm willing to put myself in pressure because I relish those situations. And I think back to when I was younger playing soccer. I was a goalkeeper and I loved high pressure situations. Playoffs, penalty shootouts. I'm like as relaxed as a retired person laying on the beach. That's what I was built for. I was built for that. I thrived under situations like that. Whereas other people, they have a little bit of stress in their life and they fucking freak out. And I understand that, like, you know, I'm sure we can all grow and evolve into whoever we want to be, but there's this certain, I don't know if it's genetic or it's, you know, it's factory installed or not. All I'm saying is if you thrive with that I want more mentality and you want to grow and build great things, go for it. But if enough is enough, that's fine. But here's the thing that drives me crazy is when people who think that enough is enough is fine, and then they start talking about how they want more, but they don't do what's needed to become to go from the enough is enough camp into the more camp. I see this so frequently. Is they think they're a more orientation, like they want something different than their current situation, but they're not willing to pay the price of admission. Oh man, like I really want to get out of my situation and improve my revenue and have more freedom with my kids. But man, like I'm putting in 1 hour a day right now, and it's just, I can't see that being a possibility. Like, then shut the fuck up. Stop talking. Just say I'm happy where I am. Okay? If you are in a house and your house is on fire, you're not having the conversation like, man, I really wish I could do something different. This, you know, the house is burning. But I mean, I don't know if I can really get out of the situation because I don't know, it's not that bad. No, if your house is really on fire, you jump out the window, even if it's the third story, because it's that bad. The problem is that most people live their lives in lukewarm water that is continually getting closer to a boil, and they're not even aware of it. And that's the biggest problem I find in as a coach of other humans who want to become better, supposedly, is them. And I've said this a fucking thousand times, is like, you say your situation is not what you want. You want this, but then you're not willing to get out of the boiling water because you think the water's not boiling. And it's like, dude, the water is boiling over. Your situation's not okay. Really? Like, do you really think it's okay to be in your current situation, working 500 hours a week, making 20 bucks an hour? Whatever it is, like, you got to get uncomfortable. And I think this is for me why I continually put myself in situations that induce pressure on me, because I can live a very comfortable lifestyle, right? I can check out. I don't need to work. I mean, I can just lay in the backyard by the pool, enjoying the sun every day if I wanted to. And I would coast and I would go crazy because that's not how I'm built. But also there's this set point where things are okay. It's like, I don't really have to go for, like, you know, I don't have to really push it. So I put myself in situations where I impose outside pressure on myself so I don't fall into the enough camp, because I know that I'm happiest when I'm striving for more. Okay. And notice that it's not about the more, it's not about more money. It's just more. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm coming from a place of scarcity of not having enough. That's the other thing, is does wanting more mean that we live in lack or a place of scarcity? And I don't think it does. I think it comes from a place, like, I think it really depends on the energy behind it. Because, and I'm not perfect with this, like, definitely there are moments where I'm like, this is not enough. Like, and I recognize the energy behind that, which is a little bit of a scarce energy, versus I'm super grateful for what I have, but I'm not satisfied. I'm going to continue to strive for more. Versus, oh my God, I got to make more. I can't meet the bills. Like, that frantic energy of like, there's a big lack is very different as a source compared to I'm satisfied, right? I'm grateful, but never satisfied, right? I'm continually growing because I think we're all here to grow, right? I think all of us are here in some way, shape or form to grow and contribute, and certain people maybe more so than others. But if you're an entrepreneur, if you're watching this channel, if you're watching this playlist, the hashtag winning, I think we're on the same wavelength, right? You want big things. It's okay to want more. Who gives a shit what other people think, unless there are other people who've already been where you want to go and they live how you aspire to live. So anyways, I just thought I'd share my perspectives on this. You know, if this is something you've considered, the enough versus more quiet in the conversation, I would love to know from you in the comments below, how do you balance enough versus more? Which camp are you in? And is that something that you've thought a little bit about? I'd love to know your perspectives in the comments. So let me know below. Thanks for hanging out and I'll see you next time. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me in today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. If you have, here's what I'd love for you to do next, is if you're not already subscribed to The Healthpreneur Show, go ahead and hit that button wherever you're listening to this to make sure you do not miss a single episode coming your way. And while you're at it, why not leave a rating or review? It would mean a lot to me. And here's why. Because I lay in bed awake at night wondering, are you enjoying this show? Do you get a lot of value out of this? And I never really know until I hear from you. All kidding aside, I would really appreciate a rating or review because, as you know, the more people know about this show, the more people we can help. And your ratings and reviews make a huge difference. So thanks for hanging out with me once again, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.